pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you again for today. What a great day you've given us, Lord, so we thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for all the people that are here today. They're here for a reason and a purpose. Lord, just I pray that in this moment, during these times today, that you are praised, you are honored, your name is magnified, you are glorified in this place, because after all, Father, that's what we're here for. So, Lord, help us prepare our minds and hearts as we enter into worship, as we enter into the time of message. And, Lord, just my prayer is that you will speak to us in a mighty way. And, Lord, may we hear something today that we haven't heard in the past. And may we leave a little different than what we came. Again, Father, we love you. We thank you. Jesus, we love you and thank you. Holy Spirit, we love you and thank you. And we pray all these things in your mighty and holy name. Amen. Somebody tell me what we started last week. Does anybody remember? We started a new series, right? Dwight says, I'm at a loss. I wasn't here. Started a new series called Committed. Committed. And last week, you remember I told you I was very transparent and admitted one of my failings, and one of those was what? That I fell in my followership. So last week's message was about being committed to follow. Who are we following? Jesus, right? So this morning we're going to continue in that series. But if you think back a couple weeks when Harley was here, I shared the words of Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And in those verses we saw, or we learned, that part of being a Christian or part of being a follower of Christ involves being a good servant. It involves being a good steward of our faith. All right? In other words, Jesus isn't here anymore, so who is responsible, or who needs to take care of making sure that our faith or the truth of our faith gets spread? We do, right? And then finally we saw that part of our role as Christian involved also remaining faithful or being faithful. So I put the words, or we put the words back up on the screen, so I wanted to just review those again. But look at that. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. This is how one should regard us. Now, again, this is Paul talking about the apostles, right? But we should equate that to us as Christians. So this is how one should regard us as followers, right? As what? Servants of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Faithful. So every believer who answers the call to service, guess what we need to do? We got to attempt to serve with the same level of faithfulness that Jesus served with. Think about that. That kind of hits you in the heart, doesn't it? But to be found faithful in our service is important. To be found faithful in service, or to be found, so that we tie it into our series, committed to serve, right? So this morning, guess what? We're going to talk about. Last week was committed to follow. This morning is committed to serve. Well, to do that, there's some key elements or personal elements. In other words, things you must do yourself, right, to fit that mold. These things we're going to talk about this morning, they really need to be evident in your life. And this is not an exhaustive list, because there's many, many elements that we find in Scripture that are very important for our life, and they help us to be a better follower, and they help us to be a better servant. I couldn't cover them all, right? So if you want to say, well, the pastor's just picking his list, well, sort of. But when I read what we just read and I think about this morning and this title and this thought of, well, am I committed to serve? Well, some of these elements or some of these attributes are what I feel as your pastor we need to display as followers of Jesus Christ. But you know, all of Scripture teaches us about these principles, about being committed to service, and these are the ones that probably to me stand out the most. But a committed servant of Jesus must be available, must be humble, must be obedient. And as we just read, must be faithful. And then I'm going to throw in another one, must be enduring. The truth is, no matter our capacity, no matter our talents, no matter our giftedness, when it comes to serving or the opportunities to serve those that are appointed to us through Jesus Christ, right? No doubt about it, our faithfulness is paramount. Our display of faithfulness is paramount. Now, I'm not asking you to be fake, right? So how does your display of faithfulness get out there? Well, guess what? You commit to follow, and then you commit to serve, and people will say, well, boy, that's a faithful follower, faithful servant of Jesus Christ. So here's just a short prayer that I've had for us this week as I was preparing this message. May the faithfulness of God and the commitment of Jesus help each of us strive for excellent service in the duties that He has assigned for us. Think about that. I pray that God's faithfulness, His promises, Jesus' faithfulness, His commitment to all that we are, the reason we get to be called Christians, right? I pray that those things permeate in our lives on a day-to-day basis. So, this list of things, when we consider availability, we must consider that the call of Christ brings with it some form, hold on to your seats, of sacrifice. Whew, that's one of those words, it's kind of like commitment, right? That's one of those words we don't like to hear sometimes. But to be committed to serve, it requires sometimes some sacrifice. Not always, but a lot of times it does. After all, when we think about Jesus, we think about the one that we follow, right? When we think about Him, did He not willingly make Himself available for the cross? He did, didn't He? So look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. It says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ, who though He was in the form of God, and I'm going to pause there a minute, you know what that means? He was in the form of God, He could have walked away when I read that. He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Wow. The one we follow did that, y'all. He chose to do that. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. You know, sometimes our availability requires us to sacrifice our wants and our desires. That's tough to think about sometimes. Because everybody sitting in here has desires. Everybody sitting in here has wants. We have things in this world, in this life, that we think, man, I got to go do that. I need that. I want that in my life. But guess what? Most of the time, a lot of the times, those things don't necessarily fall in line with that what God or that what Jesus has called us to. And when that happens, guess what we got to do? We got to make some decisions. And sometimes we have to sacrifice and say, you know what? God, I really want that. I really want to do that. I really want to experience that. But Jesus says, in due time. In due time. So, as I was thinking about this thought, this concept of availability, it reminded me of Isaiah's response to God. And y'all will know this when we read it. When God called him to serve as one of his prophets to Israel. Why don't you look at Isaiah 6, verse 8. And again, this is God commissioning, right? Isaiah. And Isaiah says, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And this is Isaiah responding. What does he say? Here I am, send me. In other words, Isaiah's saying, I'm available. So he's like, okay, God, I heard what you said. Why are you asking, right? Why are you asking? I'm here. I'll go. Isaiah's attitude was what? No matter what, I'm going to go. Guess what? Jesus' attitude was no matter what, I'm going to go. Now, where Isaiah went was a little different than where Jesus went, right? But the principle, the concept, the idea of availability is the same. If Jesus is asking you to do something, one of the things that has to be evident in our life is our availability, our availability. So if we're to be committed to serve, then guess what? We got to make sacrifices, and we got to decide to be available. Now, with sacrifice, and we saw this in both of or two of the scriptures we've read already, comes humility. And as we just read here in Philippians, humility must be present if the sacrifice is to be genuine. Does that make sense? If we want our sacrifice to be genuine, then it requires humility. Now, what's that word? I like to put it in terms I can understand, right? When I think of humility, it means I got to get out of the way. Simply put, if there's anything in me selfish in any way, form, or fashion, then guess what I got to do? I got to sacrifice it. That's what humility means. I got to get out of the way. That's easier said than done, isn't it? You know, the Bible warns us about this attempt to get rid of it. Because you know the biggest enemy to humility is pride. Pride stands in direct opposition to humility. And if you've read Proverbs, and I'm only going to give you one, but there's several in Proverbs, you'll find out real quick what God thinks about pride. Look at the one we put on the screen. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech. And here's the strong part of this verse. I what? Hate. Well, we say it sometimes flippantly, but that word hate's a powerful, strong word, right? But hidden in that verse, what? Pride and its cousin, arrogance, right? Is the way of evil. And God says, I don't like it. No, he says it a little more stronger than that, doesn't he? He said, I hate. So God warns us. He says, hey, practicing humility is, guess what? It's going to be difficult. But if you're going to be committed to serve, guess what you've got to do? You got to practice humility. You got to get rid of the self. You got to set it to the side. You say, well, what am I going to get out of going and handing those tracts out? That happens, doesn't it? Well, what am I going to get out of handing out a cup of water on the sidewalk at a, I don't know, fall festival? If you're blessed, right? Right? So in other words, if we're going to practice humility and we're going to be committed to serve, we got to get rid of the eyes. Right? Not these eyes, this eye. We just got to get rid of them. We got to get rid of them. Easier said than done, right? Easier said than done. You know, John Piper teaches that pride is universal. Every person deals with it, Christian or not. Every person deals with it. But, you know, it made me think of this right here. We'll read the whole thing, but I want you to focus up until that first comma there. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Excuse me. But in that first part, it warns us to avoid the dangers of allowing pride to filter down in our lives, because if we do, it'll show up as what? Worry and anxiety. You say, well, explain that a little further. Let me think about this. If it's all about I, and things aren't going the way I want them to go, what do I start doing? Worrying or getting anxious about stuff, right? Even in our ministries. Like, oh, and I'm the worst, y'all, I promise you. I promise you. And my wife will attest to this because she has warned me about it several times. But I'll say, this just ain't going how I want it to go. What'd you hear in there? The I part. Well, we need to do this. We need to do this, and I just can't figure out how to make it work. Well, guess what? Maybe that I is why it ain't working. So it just needs to be cut off sometimes, right? It needs to be stopped. But we were warned about this. If we allow pride to fester, and guess what? We eventually start worrying. And boy, that's another sermon, y'all. A series, actually, of sermons on why, as a follower of Christ, as a committed follower and a committed servant of Christ, we shouldn't worry and we shouldn't be anxious. And I think back to a few of the songs. It was talking about our hope, right? If Jesus is truly ours, he's all we need, and our hope is what? In there someday. But yet we fret so much over stuff here. And I just say this, y'all. Sometimes pride is the root of why we do that. The committed servant will remain clothed in humility and do everything possible to try to prevent being found prideful. Being found prideful. Then when we consider humility, it leads us into obedience. So I want to go back to 2:8 again. And being found in human form, he what? Humbled himself by becoming obedient. So if we're going to be committed to serve and we commit to being humble, not prideful, right? Then what's going to eventually flow out of that, even if we're afraid? You know how many people I've heard through my life say, well, I would do that. I don't know. I'm scared to do that. I'm scared to go do that, or I'm scared to say that, right? But as you begin to humble yourself and you realize it's not about you, it's more about him, then what you'll find is out of that will flow obedience. Because eventually you get to this point where, you know what, I just ain't going to worry about it. I mean, I do some goofy stuff. I look at myself and I'm a goofy person sometimes. I'm a silly person sometimes. By nature, I'm not really like that. And if you really know me, you'd say, God, you're pretty serious, bro. Now, I got a decent sense of humor and stuff like that. But I get serious about stuff that I need to be serious about. And sometimes to the point where I can't not, you know. I just can't do it. But when I get up here and God leads me, sometimes I say things and do things. And some of you say, well, he's silly. He's goofy. I just want you to hear what I'm saying, though. When you get pride out of the way, you humble yourself before your Savior, and you say, here I am, Lord, send me. And you commit yourself to being a servant, right? You'll find out that you'll do things. You'll say things. You'll go places that you could have never thought or imagined. Amen. And then when you get there, or you think back on it, you'll say, wow. Is God really that goofy? And I'm not calling God goofy. But he knows who our true self is. He knows what our real personalities are, to include our senses of humor, right? Our seriousnesses, all of those things. And the beautiful part about that is when you say, hey, I'm out of the way, it's all you, then guess what? Every gift, every talent, every ounce of who you are, he can and will use it. Amen. If you'll let him. If you'll let him. So if I'm goofy and you don't like it, get over it. If I'm being silly sometimes and you don't like it, get over it. Sometimes, you know, God uses sense of humor to reach us. God uses our quirkiness to reach us. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. So humility leads to obedience. You know, Jesus, we just read about it. He obeyed unto death. It was God's plan for Jesus. Think about that. It was God's plan for Jesus. Without it, none of us would have had the opportunity of eternal forgiveness. That's deep, y'all, but I want to say that again. Without the death of Christ on the cross, we might have been forgiven of some things through our life, but we would have never had the opportunity for eternal forgiveness. That's what Christ has done for us. God has a plan. Just like he had a plan for Jesus, guess what he has? He has a plan for you and your life. Have you ever thought about that? You ever questioned that? In a good way? Because sometimes we'll question that in a negative way. But God has a plan for your life. True obedience is seen when we faithfully carry out the plan of the Father. Think about that one. True obedience can be seen when we carry out the plan that he has for us. Committed service requires that obedience. If God asks you to do something unto death, are you willing and faithful enough to see it through? You say, whoa, preacher, that's a big question right there. But that's a very real question. It's a very real question. I pray that as a faithful, committed follower and servant of Christ, that what he has you to do doesn't lead you to death, but if it were the case, would you accept it? Would you stand up and say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me. Obedience requires the committed servant. Now, we just talked about being led into death. Guess what? If that were the case, and again, I pray that's not the case. But obedience, when we begin to follow God's plan, guess what it requires of us sometimes? Things like diligence, bravery, strength of character. Where does our strength of character come? Well, hopefully if we're following Jesus the way we ought to be following Jesus, the good characteristics that he instills in our life is what shows up. Now, I'll admit, sometimes my characteristics show up, right? And again, if that begins to happen, what do I need to do? I need to say, whoa, wait a minute. This is becoming too much about me, and I need to pray and ask for God to teach me a little humility. People say, oh, you shouldn't pray for things like that. Well, if you're going to be a committed servant of Christ, guess what? It requires that humility. And out of that humility flows that obedience that we're talking about. Hebrews 12, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. But therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run, and here's that word, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Looking where? To Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated where? At the right hand of the throne of God. You see, our commitment to serving God must remain intact regardless of the challenges we may face, regardless of the satanic attacks. People say, I don't believe in all that stuff. Regardless of the constant criticism. I've said this before and I'll say it again this morning. It's not easy in the world we live in to be a Christian. Can I say this? It wasn't easy in the world that Jesus lived in to be who he was. And that's why in a very short amount of time, they made a decision. And what I mean by that is the people around him, the people that didn't decide to follow him, they made the decision very quickly. Well, we need to get rid of this guy. But oh, did they not know that that was part of the plan. That was part of the plan. So our commitment to serving God, it's got to, regardless of what we'll face. Do you ever think that Jesus, even though he knew some of the things he was about to face, probably said to himself, really? Why? Today? Of all days, today, I got to do this. I don't know. He did, didn't he? But in the garden, I think he looked at all those days. And then the days that was coming. And thought, really? This is the plan? Wow. Wow. You ever had one of those moments in your life where you say, okay, God, this is the plan? Really? I've had a lot of those. I'll just be honest with you. Just be honest with you. Regardless of the challenges, regardless of the attacks, the satanic attacks, the constant criticism, regardless of all that stuff that you might hear or that you might see happening to a fellow follower, we must be committed to serve in the manner that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has called us to. Let's look at the next two verses out of Hebrews right there. It says, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Who's that sinner? Yeah, thank you, Brian. All our hands should have went up, right? It's hard for us to think about. When he went to the cross, it wasn't just the people then. It was for people then all the way up to when? Right now. And until he comes back. Again, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint hearted. In other words, you know what that means? If he did it and he lives in you, you can do it. That's Brian Ease. If he did it and he lives in you, you can do it. When you say, is that part of the plan? Really, God? He's going to say, yep, but I got you. You can do it. Don't fret. Don't become weary. Don't become faint at heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Whoa, boy. That's hard to hear sometimes. But that's a blessing, y'all. Can I just say that? I know, and you've heard this term, my BC days, before Christ days, right? And I'll say this, I was saved when I was young, okay? And I'm grateful that I was saved when I was young. But I had that period of time in my life where even though I was saved, I wasn't a follower. And I sinned repeatedly over and over and over. And I look back on that now, you know, that old other saying, hindsight's 20/20. I got that 20/20 vision of looking back and saying, oh my goodness, what did my Savior protect me from? Well, when I read that verse, you know, he's protected me from a lot of stuff. But man, my sin ain't never cost me my blood, cost me my life. And that, man, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. If you struggle against sin, in your struggle against sin, have you not resisted to the point of shedding your blood? The committed servant must not grow weary, cannot grow weary with the plans of God. Finally, with all these things are not enough, the committed servant must rely on the power of God and the strength of Christ for help with, and we just read it, enduring to the very end. Have you ever just felt like, I just don't know how much more I can do. I just don't know how much more I can take. Right? And then you get that little patch of, oh boy, things is rocking and going good. And then, bam. Right? In those moments, we got to trust the power of God. We got to trust the strength of Christ to help us endure to the very end. We must set our minds on what lies ahead and forget what is behind us. And if you've looked at Luke and you've studied this, and in my Bible, they have these little section titles. But Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62 is what we're going to read here shortly. But in my Bible, it's titled, The Cost of Following Jesus. And it says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Sounds like he's going to follow him everywhere, right? To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, is Jesus being insensitive to loss of loved ones? Is he being insensitive to friends and family? No, what he's really wanting you to understand that is to follow, to be committed to follow, to be committed to serve, it does come with a cost. And we like to say, well, our salvation is this gracious free gift from God, and it is. It absolutely is. Make no bones about it. But in this world that we live in right now, when you make that decision, it comes with a cost. And I don't like sugarcoating stuff. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But, oh man, is that cost worth it? Amen. Is it worth it? It is so worth it, y'all. It is so, so worth it. The commitment to serve may cost us some things here on earth. I've shared this before. When I finally said, all right, God, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm gonna commit. All my group that I hung with and partied with and golfed on Sunday morning with and all that stuff, in a very short amount of time, I looked around and they weren't there. And y'all know we're people of relationships. That's how God intends us to be. That's how he made us. That's how he created us. When those things start happening, you start wondering, well, my goodness, I thought this was supposed to be good. You know what I was worried about? Little old I right here now. Because I didn't yet understand about big old me then. And that's far outweighs anything here on earth. Now, does that mean you're supposed to live as a hermit, seclude yourself? No. Because now I look and I say, man, I might have lost a few friends, which I really didn't. They've come back later on in life, right? But look at all the ones I've gained through the years for saying, hey, I love Jesus. I'm committed to him. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to serve him. And he says, okay, look at all these goofy people that's doing the same thing. They're part of your family. And I say, woohoo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It may come with a cost, y'all, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. Every bit of it, every moment of it is worth it. I don't want to end on that note, so I want to close by reminding you of some of the rewards that God has reserved for the faithful and committed servant. Now again, we don't have time to break them down and go through them, but as we do this, I want to go to the parable of the talents found in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to read verses 19 through 23 from Matthew 25. And it says, now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful, what? Servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I'm going to pause. That's a reward, y'all. We like to think about those crowns and things, right? We like to think about just the fact we're going to be in heaven. It's much more than that. You're going to enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22, and he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I'm going to stop right there. Because y'all know the story of these talents and what happens to the last person. The last person squandered what he was given. And guess what he didn't get to do? Enter into the joy of his master. So when we are found faithfully committed to the plan, to the mission set before us, we are promised the opportunity to enter into the joy of our master. We are promised the gift of his presence for eternity. And I mentioned earlier about goofiness and silliness and personality and sense of humor, right? All those things tie into that word joy. They really do. While I think that our Savior can be serious when the moment requires him to be serious, I also think that he's just this, I don't know, big father figure, you know, that just has a great sense of humor and laughs when we laugh and hurts when we, you know? I mean, he did create us, and weren't we made in his image? Absolutely. So guess what? When something funny happens to you in your life and it's part of the plan, I think he looks and says, I did that. That's just who he is. And there's going to come a day if we've committed to him and we're serving him, that guess what? We're going to stand in his presence. And y'all, I mean, we say this. It's one of those, churchies or Christianese or however you want to time it. It's one of these phrases we like to say. Boy, I just can't wait on the day. I stand before him and I hear what? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Look, don't let that be a cliche. Don't let that be just something you say because everybody else says it too. Let it be a desire. Let it be something you chase after, right? Well, what does that mean? Well, if we go back to those talents. God gave them a plan, gave them something to use and to do. And if they were faithful with it, guess what they heard? Those words. You have done great with little. I'm going to set you now over much. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Think about that. What a reward that is, y'all. What a reward that is. Psalm 16:11. Look at this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Rewards in heaven reflect the life that we live here on earth. If our life here on earth brings glory and honor and praise to the King, then guess what it's going to do in heaven? Bring honor and glory and praise to the King. I don't know if you realize this or not, but everybody has an eternity. Everybody has an eternity. If you're committed to him, to serving him, guess what? You'll do that for eternity. You'll give him praise. You'll give him honor. You'll bring him glory. And there'll come a day when you'll be standing right there, and guess where he'll be sitting? At the right hand of the Father. And guess what he's going to say? Look at what my plan was. Look at what I gave you. And look at your successes, hopefully. Hopefully we don't stand there and say, here was my plan, here's what I gave you, but look what you did. All you get is to be here. That's good, right? That's good. The Bible speaks about the crowns we can receive for our committed and faithful service. Remember I said we didn't have time to break all this down. We don't. I'm just going to share them with you. But the Bible does speak about different crowns that we can receive for being committed, faithful servants. Okay? The victor's crown. We sang that first song that I couldn't get y'all moving on, right? Victor's crown. Victory in Jesus. The crown of rejoicing. The crown of righteousness, the crown of life, and the crown of glory. What a great definition for entering into the joy of our Master. Each of these crowns will be given when it's our time to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How we live our life now determines how He will judge us then. Are you motivated to serve Him and to live more like Him every day? If so, will it be your level of commitment or the level of faithfulness to serving Christ that determines the crowns you'll receive? I want to read those again, because I don't know about y'all, I want all of them. And I'm being selfish and prideful when I say that. Even though I don't need to be. But boy, when I read that list, I'm going to say I want all those. I really am. I'm saying that with all humility. I want to serve Him. I want to humble myself and commit to serve Him, knowing that hopefully one day when I stand there, He's going to say, hey, Brian, man, you did good. You did good. You could have done better. But you did good. And guess what I got for you? This crown of victory. This crown of rejoicing. This crown of righteousness. This crown of eternal life. And this crown of glory. Enter into my joy. Enter into my joy. Are you motivated this morning to serve Him? To be more like Him? To commit to making Jesus Christ who He ought to be in your life? My prayer and my hope is that you don't leave today without doing so. Because guess what? He's got a plan. He's just waiting on you to accept it. And He's got a reward for the result, the ending result of that plan. It's up to you whether you go and earn them, whether you go and get them. Now, I don't know about you. When I read and I think about all this stuff, man, we serve a great Savior. Amen. We serve a great sacrificial Lamb. We serve the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. There's none like Him. None. And the Bible says you can't get there without Him. Matter of fact, He says, I am the only way. He says that. Not me. I'm just repeating. It's grand, y'all. It's great. Don't leave today without being committed to serve Him. I promise you, it'll be wild. It'll be great. It'll be awesome. And you'll look back on it one day and you'll say, I can't believe we did that. Can't believe I did that. Can't believe I went there. Can't believe I talked to that person. I can't believe that person that used to not like me now likes me. Even though I'm different. It's just, I mean, I could go on and on and on. But that's the reality of what it means to follow Jesus Christ and commit yourself to Him. Commit yourself to Him. We're going to play a song I think you'll recognize. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Sing along with it if you know it. Do business with God if you need to. I'll be here if I can help you. I'll pray with you. I'll talk to you. I'll do whatever I need to do. Come if you need to.
My Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. Covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. Brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions.
Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your message. Lord, I pray that whatever message it was for each of us individually, that we heard you. And I pray, God, that we leave here today knowing that you have a plan. And God, I pray that we embrace that and we step forward into that and we rely on your power and your strength to lead us every step of the way. I thank you this morning as well for Audrey and Spear, and Lord, just their commitment, first and foremost to you, and now to the ministries and fellowship here at Mount Freedom Baptist Church. So, Father, again, we give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. Jesus, we love you this morning. We thank you this morning. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.